Today is the fifth observance of the Sunday of the Word of God in the Universal Church. Pope Francis instituted this observance in 2019 to highlight the importance of the Word of God in the life of the Church. And it is a good opportunity to think about the importance of the Word of God in our lives as members of the Church. As we heard in the penitential act, the Lord Jesus comes to us in word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are at the center of sacred scripture. The Old Testament points to the coming of Christ. The Gospels tell us about Jesus' life and ministry on earth. And the remainder of the New Testament shows examples of how the early church put the teaching and example of Christ into practice. And they are timeless lessons. In the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we read that Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? If someone were to ask you this question, would you be able to define it? The Lord Jesus is counting on us to be his representatives in the world, inviting others to join us in being reconciled to God. The gospel of God is the person of Jesus himself. The gospel is the eternal Son of God who has come to share in our humanity so that we may have a share in divine life. The Christian faith is an encounter with God who invites us into a relationship. Saint Jerome, the great 4th century biblical scholar and translator, wrote, "For if, as Saint Paul says, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, and if the person who does not know Scripture does not know the power and wisdom of God, then ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ." We are made to enjoy communion with God. And God came to share in our humanity to show us in the flesh how to do that. The gospel of God is also the proclamation of Jesus. Good communication between persons who trust each other builds up the relationship. And so it is with our God. God trusts that we can receive the entirety of his teaching as expressions of his love for us. And that is the basis from which we trust in God. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. The message that Jesus proclaims is comforting and consoling. Now is the time to love God unconditionally because God already loves us unconditionally. Any debate that ensues in one's mind as to whether God can love us as we are can cease. But God does not want to leave us as we are because he loves us. And we can accept the forgiveness of our sins. We can adopt his framework for living fruitfully. We can appreciate that our lives have eternal significance now. The message that Jesus proclaims is also challenging. Jesus said, in proclaiming the gospel of God, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repentance begins with sorrow for sins, with the intention to allow God to sanctify our minds, to make our minds holy. In other words, the mind belongs to God as well as the rest of us. We agree with God about what is truly important and act accordingly. In proclaiming his gospel, Jesus shows that an essential part of this proclamation is calling people to follow him within the fellowship of his church. The church is the community in which Jesus forms us to believe in his gospel. Jesus offered an invitation to Simon, Andrew, James, and John that he offers to all. Come after me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. And while this verse is often used to recruit candidates for holy orders, it reminds all Christians to proclaim the gospel and build his church according to our respective vocations. Christ forms his disciples to make disciples. And in last Sunday's homily, I invited us to pray about the people God placed in our lives to bring us to Jesus, to follow him within his church. And being a follower of Jesus within the fellowship of his church is the primary perspective in which we deal with every circumstance, analyze events, and make decisions about our response to them. I repeat what I said last Sunday. How much time do we spend having our minds formed by prayer and worship, sacramental celebrations, reading the Bible and the catechism, being inspired by the witness of other Christians, and engaging in works of mercy? In each way, we encounter the person of Jesus and we hear his proclamation. If we have allowed philosophies and ideologies that are alien to the gospel to have a dominant role in forming our minds, then Jesus says it is time for us to repent and believe in the gospel. We have had moments of being fully committed, only to be followed by experiencing moments of hesitancy and fear in accepting the entirety of what Jesus proclaims to be good news. Yet we cannot get discouraged. We must not compare ourselves unfavorably to the first disciples of the Lord. They had the same struggles. The Gospel of Mark has 16 chapters. It's the shortest gospel. And I invite you during Lent to take up reading the Gospel of Mark. Lent starts in about 3.5 weeks. And then we have 40 days of Lent. There's 16 chapters. Plenty of time. In the Gospel of Mark, the first Christian disciples received comforting messages. And so do we as we read it. The Lord feeding the multitudes from the basis of a few loaves and fish encourages us to trust that God will provide for our needs in his time and in his way. The Lord's ministry to the sick encourages us to trust that God is with us as we battle illness. The Lord calming the stormy seas encourages us to trust that God will help us to overcome tumultuous situations. The Lord restoring outcasts back into the life of the community encourages all who feel isolated at times. The Lord liberating persons from demonic activity encourages us to trust that evil will never have the last word. But the Gospel of Mark also shows that the first Christians received challenging teachings, and they struggled to understand how the Lord would enable them to follow them. For example, Jesus warns that if we are ashamed to follow his teaching and example, then he will not acknowledge us when he returns again in glory. That's in the Gospel of Mark. Now, we do not know when Jesus will return in glory, but we use the gift of our time now to mature as his disciples so that we are ready whenever it happens. We must have the disposition of forsaking sin, or we will have the devastation of forfeiting heaven. Jesus teaches that we must take up our crosses in union with him. Even though others may think that we are crazy, ridicule us, question our motives, betray us, and deny knowing us. The Gospel of Mark states that Jesus suffered all of these things. Jesus addressed the issues of the day. In the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus was asked if the people of God should pay taxes to the Roman Empire, whose head claimed to be a god. It was a religious question. If Jesus replied in the affirmative, then he could be charged with idolatry by fellow Jews. It was also a political question. If Jesus replied in the negative, he could be charged by the government with treason. Instead, Jesus got to the heart of the matter and said that since we are made in God's image, then we want to give glory to God in everything that we do. And then there's the meeting of Jesus with the Syrophoenician or Canaanite woman who asked him to deliver her daughter from a demon. Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach his disciples to avoid the practice of calling Gentiles like the Syrophoenician woman dogs. For in doing so, we forget about the inherent dignity of each person. Indeed, Jesus addresses issues about racial and ethnic conflict. I offer these examples to show that it was in the concrete circumstances of the first century in Galilee and Judea that Jesus began to proclaim his gospel and build his church. The gospel of God is the person of Jesus who draws us into communion with God. It is also the proclamation of Jesus who communicates how to enjoy this communion. Lord, teach us your ways, as we prayed earlier. The gospel of God is also the promises of Jesus, who is committed to accomplish what he has started. For as we read through the Gospel of Mark, his teaching and example is fulfilled in his passion and death on the cross and in his resurrection from the dead. And then we learn in other parts of the New Testament his ascension into heaven and interceding for us before God the Father to send God the Holy Spirit upon us that we may believe in his gospel and build his church through our actions. God will enable us to accomplish what he wills for the universal church, including this parish of Holy Family. As disciples who are formed by his teaching and example in Northwest Baltimore County, Southeast Carroll County, and beyond, it is good news that God reigns and that we can repent of our sins and that we can joyfully live according to whom God has made us to be, knowing that what we do in response to his will be fruitful in his time and according to his ways. This is what happens when we believe in the gospel, the entirety of the gospel. The whole gospel makes whole people who then make wholesome communities.